Welcome to The Sound, KQAL-FM's weekly behind-the-scenes look at Midwestern-made music. From writing and recording to distribution and promotion, The Sound is your source for new releases and exclusive interviews from Midwestern artists. Support for The Sound is made possible by a grant from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Rolling. Tonight on The Sound, we bring you the self-titled debut from Scott Hefty and the Barium Deep from Minneapolis. You've heard of country and western? Well, get ready for rock and western. That's right, Mr. Hefty and the band seamlessly combined rock with a western feel and aesthetic. So in essence, they've dropped the roll and inserted western. I just want to be clear here. They aren't dropping and rolling. They're just dropping the roll off rock and roll and replacing it with western. I mean, I don't know about any real roll off per se. I just mean that they're somewhere between rock and western music. Oh boy. Hey, maybe we should just say country rock. But I think it's more than that. Hey, who writes this crap anyway? Hell, I'll just let you decide for yourself. Take a good listen, because these rock and roll cowboys mean business. I'm Bill Stoneberg saying grab a shovel as we get ready to dig in with Scott Hefty and the Barium Deep. Tonight on The Sound.
Thank you.
That was I Thought You Knew, and that's from Scott Hefty and the Barium Deep from Minneapolis. And I have Scott on the phone with us tonight. Scott, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks, Bill.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on the show with us. We got a package in the mail from you guys, and it was one that's not super rare these days, but rare enough where it's special. We got a vinyl record from you, and that was super fun to get. Yeah, so thank you. We appreciate it. We appreciate
the vinyl. Oh, no problem. Yeah, like we, if it's okay to talk about the actual, the vinyl.
Yeah.
We did everything analog. I don't know if we got the Frank Strangers here with Mike Wistey.
Okay.
And Mike Wistey has the Albatross Studios, which is just all analog. There's not even a computer hooked up to the board. And he recorded it all to tape. He mixed it to tape, and he mastered it on tape. And then the only time it touched the computer is when he did the digital dump to get it actually pressed on record. So
cool.
We were very, like, that was our hope, was just, like, we wanted to sound as much like, you know, maybe a 70s album mm-hmm. as possible.
And right.
So that was kind of the reason why we went with vinyl, and that's kind of the reason we went with Mike, because we wanted just kind of that warmer
right.
sound.
Right. So, and that analog yeah. process, too. There's something to be said for committing to decisions instead of unlimited undos, you know? You're just like, this is what we're doing. Boom. You do it. Once you're done with that phase or step, it's on to the next step, and there's no going back, you know, like,
you know,
I like that.
Definitely. We went in, we had to have a plan. So we definitely went in there but it's like, it's a lot more of an organic thing when it comes out, because
right.
yeah, you can't just kind of cut and paste stuff. You definitely can't cut and paste stuff. So
right. Totally.
You gotta be on your game. And you got to have someone good like Mike Wistey that can help you through the game, too. He's, mm-hmm. he's good at helping people out through the process. So
right.
He's good.
Right. Totally. So this came out, this record, the physical release was March 23rd. You're going to have a streaming release March 30th. I did notice that you have an acoustic album under your own name, Scott Hefty, from January of 23. But this yep. is the first release I see from Barium Deep. Was this like a succession that like was planned out, or these two separate releases, or how did this kind of come about with the Barium Deep?
Well, so it's a little, I'll try and make a long story short.
Sure.
But back in the early 2000s, I was in a couple successful more successful bands, like one was called Seymour Saves the World.
Okay.
And we were on this local label called Royalty Etc. Records, who helped us out a ton. And we still touch base with them, you know, all the time. And if I ever put anything out, I have them put it out, just, you know, for getting their name out there. But
sure.
every summer they put one of the owners has a farm. They put on this like concert. And so I started, after a long time of not writing anything, I wrote all these like, kind of country-ish, you know, alt country, indie,
uh-huh.
country type stuff. And I just put on a solo show at this, you know, this festival thing they have.
Cool.
And one of the owners was like, that was great. You need to come over here. And he has like his own like studio in his like a basement studio. And he's like, I just want you to record like you record like you did the set. And that was kind of, it was kind of his idea. But then when I recorded the set and kind of put that out, I was like, well, I'd kind of like to make a band out of this if possible. And so it just kind of, yeah. So yeah, it is kind of the skeleton from which this band came.
Okay,
sure.
Cool.
And we do have a plan to do a follow-up album at some point once we recover from this album,
but right.
And that one will have a lot of like fleshed out band versions of stuff off the original, like,
oh, okay.
The singer songwriter type album. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that'll be, yeah. So that's where that fits in.
Right.
It's just kind of it's the start. It's kind of where cause I'd never played that kind of music before. So it was
okay.
just kind of my introduction into, you know, playing a little more country based,
right
based
so we're getting to see this kind of like evolve in real time here, right, you know, with these releases, you know.
Yeah, so definitely. Yeah, definitely. And I hope, you know, as the band gets together, we still are, you know, formulating our sound, and
mm-hmm.
I'm hoping by the time we're ready for a second album, we'll even, I've got a little more, matured and settled in. And, but at the same time, keeping that like kind of roughness to it that I like.
Yeah.
I've always kind of enjoyed kind of a good song, but it always looks like you're kind of on the edge of falling apart.
Right,
that's
right.
That's kind of like where I want to sit most of the time when I play.
Okay, yeah.
Which very is weird. I think other people probably wouldn't enjoy that. But
well, that's rock and roll. That's the danger part of it, right? Is walking that line, I like that. Oh, it's interesting to hear you talk about this and the, where this is coming from and the evolution of it. But I hear this kind of 60s sound of like, when we often hear country rock, we often think of like the Graham Parsons branches of the family tree and things, right? Where it's really pulling hard from country, and the rock part of it is like real early 60s pop rock, But this is kind of cool to see like a whole bunch of influences coming together here. I think I'm getting a little long-winded, but like this next track we're going to play, Backwoods King, there's organ, there's like a shaker that does a steady beat that's like a, reminiscent of what a tambourine would do in the 60s, stuff like that. I hear a fuzzed out, I think it's a fuzzed out bass in the left side in the chorus. I'm not sure. It might be a guitar. We'll talk about that one maybe after we play it, but you can correct me if I'm wrong, right or wrong. Are these, so is this a direction that you intentionally go into, or am I just way off base on the 60s thing, or what's the deal there?
No, you're on it. Like, I was a 90s, like not a 90s young kid, but I went to high school in the 90s.
Sure,
so I'm a little
right,
bit older.
Right.
But I derive a lot of my influences from like Nirvana, stuff like, the grunge scene, but like, Pavement, things like that.
Sure.
And so like when I started writing country stuff, I knew it wasn't going to sound like normal country stuff.
Right. Right.
That's just not in me. And then I also noticed that, when you listen back to 90s stuff, that was also heavily influenced by like the psychedelic rock and stuff of the 60s.
Yep, totally.
So I think by my, just obsessiveness with the 90s rock, I think some of that 60s stuff kind of came in a little bit. And we first noticed other people were kind of thinking the same thing when we got a show at Palmer's Bar up here, and they listened to something and they classified it as psychedelic Americana.
Oh wow. So like, interesting. Yeah,
I was like, that's actually kind of perfect. I like that.
right. Oh man. This next one, I'm talking to Scott Hefty from Scott Hefty and the Barium Deep. They're out of Minneapolis. This is I'd say that this is probably your debut full length for the band, right? For the band. And it's self-titled. This track is another single from it. You sent me a few singles. This one's called Backwoods King, and you're listening to it on The Sound right here on 89.5 KQL.
Breaking backs for two, but this is America.
That was Backwoods King, and that is a tune off the latest album from Scott Hefty and the Barium Deep. The album's self-titled. I've got Scott on the phone with us tonight. All right, Scott, so I got to know, like, that last tune, Backwoods King, like I was saying, I dig the organ, the shaker, and I'm hearing, like, a fuzzed-out bass on the left side in the chorus. Is it a bass or is it a guitar?
No, it is a bass. You're
yes.
right.
Ding, 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 ding. Awesome.
We work a lot with... for how kind of interestingly enough, for how I feel, how kind of organic the band sound is, uh-huh. we use a lot of pedals to come up with that sound.
Sure.
So, but I was, when we kind of shaped the sound, I was like, okay, we want to do a lot more delays over, you know, some other type of stuff. We want to do, you know, overdrives, not distortion. And so, the bass player has like three different overdrives and a delay pedal on
there.
Wow.
So
he's doing all sorts of cool noises throughout. And the guitar player even has Spencer, mm-hmm. even has more. So it's you hear a lot of kind of fun sounds. And then I'm also, because I play an acoustic guitar and I kind of dug the sound of it through an amp, and so I started playing pedals mm-hmm. out of it as well. And so I'm also using some overdrives and delay and stuff. So
cool. Yeah. Is that something that you guys were like, are you all kind of pedal heads and like a lot of effects? Is this intentional, or is this like, did it just evolve after adding something and going, ooh, okay, more of that, you know?
Well, Spencer, the guitar player, and Adam, the bass player, are both pedal heads. They're both gear people.
Sure.
I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not one by any means. But as the sound kind of takes shape, we were working on like what pedal Spencer should have. And he did a really good job of like listening, like, okay, what are we trying to make it sound like here?
Mm-hmm.
And then the same thing with Adam, the bass player. And then as like there, so I was like, wow, that's cool. They can get all that kind of like, you know, almost like an emotional. Just by having experience by just saying that pedal, I was like, well, maybe I can figure something out like that too. And I'm fortunate to have lots of friends who are pedal heads. So I have a good friend, Kyle, who lent me a few overdrive pedals and like a kind of a reverb / like echo pedal.
Nice.
And I just started playing with those. And I'm not a pedal head, but I definitely found respect for the pedal and what you can do with it.
Right.
Through this process of making this album.
Yeah. And it sounds like you have enough resources, you know, with buddies and friends that have the stuff and know it. So when you're writing songs, how does that go? Do you like, is it lyrics? Is it melody? Like, where do you start? Where does it come from?
That's a good question. It changed a lot. Cause when I was when I was in other bands in early 2000s, like lyrics were the last thing on my mind.
Okay.
And, like, I would come in running into the studio with songs without lyrics. We would have to like either just make them up on the fly, or whatever. But this kind of this time around, like, I got called out a lot of times by people who had the album be like, you're not singing any of the right lyrics on stage. And I was like, yep, I mean I know. but because we put them together so quick, and half the time I didn't even write them, they didn't mean a lot to me,
right?
And so this time around, what I did was, I mean, I still took it as like, I want to hear the chords first, I want to get a melody first,
mm-hmm.
but I specifically left time to write lyrics, and I let songs sit until the lyrics begin to become a little more cohesive and something that meant something to me.
Right.
And so it was just helpful in the fact that I think the songwriting is better, but also it helps me remember the words on stage because they actually mean something to me instead of just gibberish. So,
Right.
I do chords and melody first, and then, and then the lyrics. And then what I usually do is I do a guitar and Scott demo on my phone, and I just send it out to everybody and kind of see what their thoughts are.
Right.
And if they like it, then we start trying to play it. So.
Cool. Yeah, I like that. It's always interesting to hear how people come up with their stuff, you know, and then how it translates to the band, you know. And I like that you said you come up with stuff and then send it to them and see what they think, you know, and share opinions. That's great. Sounds like a cohesive unit that way, you know.
Yeah, and definitely with this stuff, for as silly as it might seem, but it really helped to have like this idea of, like, we want to be like this weird new cowboy western band,
mm-hmm.
like where, like, you know, my other bands were just bands, you know. This has like a, like almost like a, like, if not for just us, it's itself, ourselves, it's, we have like a mythos attached to it. That's what we're
Right,
doing. Like,
right.
there's a, we're trying to create this like new, you know, because there's a lot of interesting things came out of the Western myth of, you know, America, for better or for worse. But so
Right.
it's a very interesting thing. So we wanted to kind of tap into that storytelling a
Yeah,
bit.
I like that. Let's get back into another tune, and then we'll come back and talk some more. I want to talk about the Albatross and the way you guys recorded this. I'm talking to Scott Hefty tonight. It's from Scott Hefty and the Barium Deep, and we're talking about their debut full-length album. Came out March 23rd in physical and streaming. It'll be everywhere streaming March 30th of 2023 here. So this next tune is called Semi-Automatic from Scott Hefty and the Barium Deep, and you're listening to it right here on The Sound on 89.5 KQAL. That was Semi-Automatic, and that's from Scott Hefty and the Barium Deep. And I've got Scott on the phone with me tonight. Scott, so we kind of went all over the place. We were talking about your kind of the sounds you guys have and some of the effects you use, right down to your songwriting. How about the, like, the recording process itself? You said you did this at Albatross Studios with Mike. I forget the his last name that you said. But
Wistie from Wistie. Rank Strangers. Like, they were,
oh, okay.
They're a really big band in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
And they have been forever. So it's very cool to,
yeah.
get to work with him because he's a very knowledgeable guy.
Yeah. That's cool. So you're doing it at Albatross. Mike is producing and engineering as well, I'm assuming? Or?
Yep.
Okay.
He's doing everything.
Everything.
I mean, there's definitely during the process, Mike takes his time as well, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
And so we go in there for a weekend, and then we let our ears rest. He get us a copy of the, you know, the mixes to that point.
Right.
And then what I would do is there's like a small, is a, you know, amongst a band for sure, and then like a small group of maybe four or five other people I would send the mixes to, mm-hmm. and just get feedback on what they thought,
right.
things like that. So I just kind of made it as much a group effort to kind of get it together, and then of course drawing from Mike's expertise. So it was kind of a group effort, and right. I mean, I guess me at the front, I kind of know what I want, but especially when it comes to like mixing and getting the finer points of, you know, what should be panned this way, what should be panned that way, what needs to be higher, lower, I kind of get lost in the woods a little bit, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good to have other people around kind of, you know, saying, okay, that should be louder, or that needs to be panned this way, or maybe we should cut that or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it just became a little bit of a group effort. So there's a lot of people I'm thankful for that kind of
right.
came in and gave some needed critique and
uh-huh.
you know, go back and fix things and stuff like that.
Totally. It's good to have those extra pairs of ears sometimes, you know, for sure. Just keep you straight, because you can get buried in it and lost in the forest, kind of, you know. So let's play this next tune for people, and then we'll come back and talk about the song itself. I'm here talking to Scott Hefty from Scott Hefty and the Barium Deep out of Minneapolis, and they've got a new their debut full length called Scott Hefty and the Barium Deep. This next track is from that. It's called Rain at Your Funeral, and you're listening to it on The Sound right here on 89.5 KQAL.
Apart.
That was Rain at Your Funeral, and that's a track off the new album from Scott Hefty and the Barium Deep, self-titled debut. And I've got Scott on the phone with us tonight. Scott, so we were just talking a little bit about the your recording process, you know, kind of how you choose the sounds, you know, trusting the ears of friends to, you know, to give some outside advice, stuff like that. What about, like, the lyrics? Like, this tune here, I'm real bad at lyrics. Like, lyrics are like the third or fourth thing I hear. So it takes a bunch of listens before lyrics start sinking in, you know? But you can tell, like, the feel of a song, you know, and I catch a few words here and there. And this one, Rain at Your Funeral, there's kind of a feel and a mood that's maybe has kind of a heaviness to it, you know? Can you tell us what's the story and inspiration behind the song?
Yeah, well, I think, as I said, I take a lot more time with lyrics now, so like a story does kind of shape as we go as I go through writing the lyrics. Mm-hmm. And this one specifically is a more like kind of a sad thing. As you know, I've gotten older, and you know, I'm not super old, but I'm old.
Sure, sure.
but you know, you start thinking about like the bigger existential things, and this mm-hmm. one is just about how, you know, it's the death is a part of life, is a part of life, and like, so it's what it's supposed to be is someone, you know, dies, and then, you know, the other people that knew them or whatever knew them, you know, just there's a power of life that I feel like, you know, you can just. That person isn't gone. They just transfer their, you know, their power strength to other people that sure. love them or whatnot. And, mm-hmm. you know, even gives a, you know, even gives those people a sense that everything's okay. So
right,
it's just
right.
like at the end, I wanted to be a kind of like a death scene at the beginning. And then I wanted like, it gets in that heavier part where, you know, and then at the end it's about resolution and these people being okay because, you know, this person has, you know, kind of moved on, but given mm-hmm. them their strength to keep going. You know?
Right. It kind of turns, you know, I mean, for lack of a better words here, it kind of turns it around. It feels positive at the end, like a release or like, you know, something
yeah.
like that.
I mean, I try to do that with my lyrics. A lot of them do get kind of dark, but mm-hmm. you know, I always write them with a little bit of a sarcasm. Not every song, but when I can, because mm-hmm. I know that lightens things a little bit. And then at the same time, yeah, I try to give it a more like a nice resolution of some. It may not be the resolution people are looking for, but it's the resolution I guess I decided upon.
sure. Well, as long as there's a musical resolution, I'm happy.
yeah. No, that is the most important thing. But yeah.
Right.
As I'm learning to write better lyrics, I'm realizing you can do it with the words a little bit too.
Yeah, so. Yeah. You can tie it in together. Well, I was thinking that, you know, earlier you were talking about how you start with chords and melodies, and this time around you wanted to let those kind of sink in. You know, before you settled on the exact lyrics, once you do have the lyrics then and the theme starts to take shape, does that like ever change the chord of the melody or the, you know, or does that like tell you like, oh my God, now that I have these lyrics, I need that effect or that pedal or, you know?
For some reason, I've just been lucky this time.
Okay.
I'll write these songs and then I'll go in and it'll just kind of, things will kind of naturally take shape. I mean,
okay, sure.
You know, sometimes it isn't quite that easy, but I've been lucky to play with these musicians and the band that are, you know, they're very intuitive. They're very thoughtful with what they're doing. They, they take direction well. Well, not that that's something I don't believe that I'm like some overlord or something mm-hmm, like that. They might think differently. I don't know. it's just a very natural process. I realize like sometimes when I write like a bridge or an outro, a lot of my songs have bridges and outros. Mm-hmm. Then I'll be like, okay, well, I want this effect here, and I want this to be big, so we're going to have some overdrive. And you know, the drums can probably be doing this at that point. But no, it's been a very kind of almost like a groupthink type process writing these songs. So I'm very thankful to the band.
Cool,
they're very good. So
yeah, well, I think with a lot of this stuff, it's like a chicken or the egg type thing because it all comes together. The music, lyrics, everything, it becomes a cohesive thing eventually. So it's like, Yeah, you know, it all informs it. The next tune we're going to play is the tune Lungs. And I think that's kind of fits in with what we're talking about here too, because to me, this next one, you know, that last one, Rain at Your Funeral, like I said, it felt kind of a little heavier to me, but it also has a real like tight, cohesive, like band feel to me. Lungs to me feels a little stripped down. You know what I mean? And it's really interesting and neat that way. I like the effect that has sonically on my ears, you know? And, like I said, I'm not the greatest with lyrics. It takes a few passes for me to, you know, for them to sink in for me, but the sound in this one really struck me, you know? So, well, I suppose let's go ahead and play it for people and then we can come back and talk about that. How's that?
Okay.
Sounds great. I'm here talking to Scott Hefty tonight. Scott Hefty and the Barium Deep is the name of the group and the record. And this next tune is from the album. This is called Lungs, and you're listening to it on The Sound right here on 89.5 KQAL. That was Lungs, and that's a track from Scott Hefty and the Barium Deep. And I have Scott on the phone with us tonight.
Hello.
Scott, so Lungs, that one, you know, like I was saying before we played it, that one was really kind of stood out to me, really struck me when I heard it. It sounds kind of stripped down. And I'm not exactly, I can't put my finger on exactly why that is even, because the band's playing, but it's just like, there's a like simplistic beauty in it sonically somewhere. And I don't know exactly what that is. Maybe you do. Maybe you can tell me what that is.
Well, I think part of it is that in that song specifically, Spencer, the guitar player, is playing more like that psych rock type stuff. So
right.
It just kind of, he's not playing any chords necessarily that go with what I'm playing.
Mm-hmm.
Or what the bass player is playing. He's just playing this kind of ethereal noise over the top of everything. And then that is one song where I I lean pretty heavily on the just the straight acoustic guitar. I think we might have actually taken the guitar with the amp out.
Oh, okay.
And, so that gave a little more percussive feel to
Sure.
the acoustic, which probably lent itself to having the drums be able to do other stuff besides just playing, the beats,
Right.
So. And then, Adam, our bass player, is, he's very good at just picking up on what the sound should be. So he just kind of fell into place. But yeah, I assume that's probably because Spencer and I are, Spencer's, he's doing his psych rock thing. And then it's just a stripped down acoustic guitar instead of the regular two guitars that I'm
Okay.
playing.
That makes sense. That makes sense. And then there's some, so that, I think that's probably what I'm hearing then, is there's a slight difference in the overall recording of the band. Plus then, there's some really interesting things vocally. Like I noticed that the vocal will go from one side to like both sides to then the other side. And it's kind of neat. How you placed those, like, how does that, how do ideas like that come about in the studio? Did you have that planned, or did Mike suggest that, or what?
Well, it's a funny story. No, I mean, it's fine because, as you said, analog, you got to be, there's a ton of cut and
Oh,
paste stuff. So
sure.
those were all mistakes I'd made where I sang
Whoa.
different lyrics. One, because, Mike and I would usually do three takes or two takes of the vocals, and then he would either decide to double them or just have a single track. And on that one is where we wanted to double track, but I would sing the wrong words on one of the tracks. So, and we just let it get a little too far. And then at that
Oh.
point, Mike was like, "Well, it might sound pretty cool if we just like pan it to one side for those and just take the one channel out." And
Totally. Oh, it works.
I think you got to be like in front of it, because in my car it sounds a little weird, because I'm like, because it just comes out of the speaker right by my left ear. I'm like, oh gosh, I hope it doesn't sound terrible.
Sure.
But then when I've listened to it like in at home in front of like a good stereo speaker where I'm in the actual front,
Right.
it does come across kind of neat sounding. I agree. So
Yeah, no,
we were
I.
lucky in that respect.
Oh, that's funny because no, I totally dug it, and I'm sitting here listening, I'm at my desk with the speakers a certain distance apart from my seat, and I'm kind of a geek like that. But yeah, so I totally heard that and was like, oh my God, that was a really cool choice right there,
No, Mike, just not to, give away too many secrets, but like there were a couple disastrous things that happened that did end up changing the sound of things, because Mike luckily had some really good ideas of how to fix them. So some of the more interesting like mixing and production ideas could very well have been from me mixing messing something
Well,
up.
that's why I like to say instead of fixing them, I'd like to say he just had the skill to recognize and utilize those happy accidents, right?
That's what I tell other people.
Exactly. Totally, man. Totally. No, I thought it sounded great. I was like, that is a cool choice. I like that. Because it made,
Thank you.
and I don't remember, like I said, I don't remember what the lyric was because I'm not, those don't sink in for me right away on the first pass. But whatever it was, it made it stand out to me, what you said there. It was at one point when it panned to the right, I was like, oh, that was really cool. You made that word really stand out in that. I like that, So, yeah, good job, man. Happy accidents, dude, right?
Yeah, well, and I'm so thankful that you like it, because like that was the most scary part of. There was a couple scary parts when we really see it. We had it done. And we're like, okay, this is it. And that was one of the big ones. I'm like, people are going to be like, wow, what did you slaughter this song for? So I'm glad it came out sounding okay.
Yeah, man. I think it comes off really well, really well. So,
Oh, thank you.
as far as let's see. All right, we got a few more things to talk about, but I think we should play another tune here.
Sure.
Like I said, I can get a little long-winded. So let's go ahead and play some more tunes for folks, and then we'll come back and talk some more. I'm talking to
Okay.
Scott Hefty from Scott Hefty and the Barium Deep. We're talking about their full-length debut of the same name. And this next track is called Exits in Brooklyn. And you're listening to it on The Sound right here on 89.5 KQAL.
Thank you.
Moose's Namaste. Moose's Namaste.
That was Exits in Brooklyn, and that is from the self-titled debut from Scott Hefty and the Barium Deep out of Minneapolis. And I have Scott on the phone with me tonight. How you doing, hey. Scott?
I'm doing good.
So we were kind of talking about some happy accidents and stuff like that that happened in the studio. We talked a lot about your process and writing and recording. What about, like... inspiration, like what kind of music do you listen to? Like what's been in your player lately or on your turntable or whatever?
Oh, that's a good question. Because it changed a lot.
Right. Oh, I'm sure.
So I'll tell you right now, I'll tell you what I'm a huge fan of Phoebe Bridgers and Boy Genius. Like those guys mm-hmm. are great. MJ Lenderman, another kind of alt country guy.
Right.
See, and then I'm also like a fan of like kind of fringe, you know, country, like I'm forgetting his name right now, Vic Chestnut.
Yeah, okay, Chestnut. Sure, yep. Yeah.
Like I think he's great. But then I also like Tom Petty, nice. Johnny Cash, Bob mm-hmm. Dylan.
Right. So how about like so Physical Copies came out the 23rd. Yep. They'll be streaming everywhere after March 30th here. Yep. Where can people, if they want a physical copy, where do they go to get one?
Right now we have a Bandcamp. I think it's bariumdeep.bandcamp.com.
Okay. Okay. Cool. And I know I've gone on there and just searched Scott Hefty and the band yeah. comes up. So,
yeah.
Let's see, all streaming platforms. How about show dates and stuff like that? Where's the best place to go to find out about that too?
We have a Facebook that I okay. know that not everyone's on Facebook anymore, but we're at, again, I think it's Barium Deep mm-hmm. Band at Facebook. And then I have my own Instagram I've kind of made it the band Instagram. So it's just at Scott Hefty
okay.
on Instagram. So the Instagram is probably the safest place.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Cool. Sounds good. I'm jotting this down. Yeah, Go ahead. Oh,
and then we had, and then shows. Obviously, we're always booking shows. But the one we have that's for sure right now is the next Saturday in Duluth. That was, I think it's Wusso's Concert Cafe.
Oh, okay, so. Cool. Sounds good. What's next? What's next for Scott Hefty and the Barium Deep? Do you shows or tour? Or?
Yeah, we're just gonna play some shows, kind of just see. I mean. You know, to see what happens. We're starting to get other bands that are really into us that are trying to get bills that work together. We're finding some good venues that we can get good dates at. So we'll just keep playing local shows. If something comes up that's bigger than that, we'll do that. The goal for me is to, at some point, you know, after we hopefully sell a few albums, would be to sit down and write a follow-up album. Mm-hmm. There's also been some talks of us, like, backing some other people.
So okay.
There might actually be an album of us, like, it'll be somebody else in the barium deep, and it'll be us backing them. So,
oh wow,
so,
cool.
So we have a few tentative plans, but for sure, you know, play shows. We probably will play every month or so, and around the cities and outside of the cities as we figure out how to do that. And then hopefully recording again at some point.
Okay. Cool. Sounds good. Well, Scott, thank you so much. We're going to go out with the last tune here, your remake of Cruel Summer. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Bill.
Yeah. Well, Scott, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Really dig the album. It's got a really cool sound, you know, in this day and age where I think the cosmic country thing's really popular, you guys have your own twist on it, and I really respect that. I love it. Love it.
Well, thank you, Bill. I appreciate it, and thanks for having me on the sound. It's been really fun talking to you about it.
I've been here with Scott Hefty of Scott Hefty and the Barium Deep. Check him out on Bandcamp, Facebook, and Instagram. You can find shows and stuff like that at Scott Hefty on Instagram. Again, Scott, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you later, I guess.
All right. Sounds great. Thank you.
And this is Cruel Summer from Scott Hefty and the Barium Deep.
Cruel summer.
Thanks again to Scott Hefty for joining us tonight on The Sound. For showtimes, merch, or to hear more from Scott Hefty and the Barium Deep, look them up on Bandcamp or your favorite social medias. For more deep dives into local and regional albums, tune into The Sound every Wednesday night at 6 right here on 89.5 KQAL. You can also listen to past episodes on The Sound on your favorite streaming services. Find links at kqal.org. I'm Bill Stoneberg, and we've just heard from Scott Hefty and the Barium Deep on The Sound. Thanks for listening to The Sound. The Sound is produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. Visit us online at kqal.org. Theme music for The Sound provided by Mike Terrell of Fires of Denmark.